I want to talk about a topic this evening that has been a burden on my heart for probably the last few years. I'm just going to put it up on the PowerPoint so you can see what I'm talking about. It says, burial or cremation, what should the Christian do? But I'm hearing an awful lot lately for the past several years about Christians being cremated. And I do believe that the Bible has something to teach us in regards to this, and that this is not something that should not be considered, and that it doesn't matter. It has become a popular opinion among people saved and unsaved to have the body of their loved one cremated when they die. I understand that burial is expensive. I understand that culturally it's becoming more accepted. But I have to ask, does God have an opinion on it, and does it really matter? I know folks who have had their funerals planned, Christians, and they had it arranged ahead of time, had the finances set aside to pay for it, only to have their unsaved family members change everything after they left this world. And instead of having them buried, even though the grave plot had been purchased and everything, they chose to have them cremated. Now, I don't want to create any hurt for anybody this evening that may have already participated in the cremation of a loved one, but I do believe that we need to, as Christians, explore this and seek God's mind on this matter. And every time I hear about a Christian that is being cremated, it just really bothers me, and I think I just need to teach on it. So here we are. Let me start with giving you some statistics. And I'm going to tell you ahead of time this because I try to give credit where credit is due. I started to study this subject, and I came across a paper that was written by David Cloud. He's a missionary in Southern Asia, or he was. I don't know if he still is. And I want to give him credit because he had already done the research on this. And so I basically used his research to put together this evening's sermon. So here it is. In 1965, 4% of deaths in America resulted in cremation of the body. Pretty low number, right? That was in 1965. In 1975, it was still just 6%. In the year 2000, it jumped to nearly 25%. And by the year 2015, it was nearly 50% of all of the dead, their bodies were cremated in America. This is just America. In other countries, that number usually runs a little higher. And let me say this, by 1965, or from 1965 to 2015 is a matter of 50 years. During that 50 years, the number of cremations went from 4% to nearly 50%. That's a huge increase. That's just 50 years. Well, in 1995, USA Today reported that the rising acceptance of cremation in America has coincided with a drop in, this is the way they said it, quote, religious barriers to cremation, unquote. So accepting cremation coincided with a drop in religious barriers to cremation. Now here's a secular paper that recognizes the connection between religion's influence on society and cremation. And they're exactly right. There is a correlation. The increase in cremation in North American society has paralleled the rejection of the Bible. And maybe some of you have never thought about this. Maybe some of you have looked at it as a cheaper way to say goodbye to a loved one, but we really need to consider what the Bible has to say. As a matter of fact, within the United States, even now, the lowest percentage of cremations within states happens in what we call the Bible Belt of our nation. Some of you may not be familiar with that phrase, but the Bible Belt is primarily a group of southern states where there was a lot of preaching, a lot of churches planted, and a lot of evangelism that went out from those particular states. And so it became known as the Bible Belt, and interestingly enough, those are the states that still have the lowest percentage of cremations per death. Now, historically, Christian burial has been a testimony of faith in the promise of the bodily resurrection. We just observed the Lord's Supper. And we remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And just as we read in the scripture this evening, it said that we are to do it until he comes. We're looking forward to his coming. And when he comes, those who have died in Christ and have been buried will be resurrected, right? And our faith in the promise of the bodily resurrection has caused Christians to practice burial, whereas cremation has been practiced among certain religions such as Hinduism and others who deny the bodily resurrection and actually teach reincarnation. And that's where the roots of cremation come from. Cremation has its origin in heathen practices, not in the Bible. And we're going to look at the scripture tonight to see that. Wherever the gospel of Jesus Christ has been received, preached and received, pagan practices such as cremation has been rejected. Now, let's look at some truths tonight. In the Bible, God's people buried their dead. Go with me to Romans 15, please. Romans 15 and verse number 4. Because I want us to see a couple verses of scripture to help us understand before we get into this that sometimes scripture does not necessarily state a particular principle, but it gives us examples of that principle in use, which then becomes an example for us. Because I have heard Christians say things like, well, just because it's an example that they did in the Bible, that doesn't necessarily mean that we need to practice it. And I would say in some cases that's true, but I think you will see this evening that the overwhelming example and testimony from Scripture is that Christians bury their dead in anticipation of the resurrection. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, that's talking about the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We look at what was written and we learn so that we can practice, so that we can have hope. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want to look at verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. He says this in reference to some of the Old Testament happenings. He says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. That is, we live in the end time. Any time that was after Jesus Christ is considered the last days in Scripture. And so what he's saying here is in these last days, we can look back at the examples and we can learn from them. So with that being said, let me just give us some examples of, in the Scripture, God's people being buried. There are, I think, 13 examples here, and this is just part of them. This is not all of them, but I'm giving us ones that we would be more familiar with. Abraham was buried in Genesis 25. Sarah was buried in Genesis 23. Rachel was buried in Genesis 35. Isaac was buried in Genesis 35. Jacob in Genesis 49. Joseph in Genesis 50. And as we continue, Joshua in Joshua 24 was buried. Eleazar was buried in Joshua 24. Samuel was buried in 1 Samuel 25. David was buried in 1 Kings chapter 2. And then kings after him. We're not even listing all the kings that were buried after him. John the Baptist was buried in Matthew chapter 14. Ananias and Sapphira were buried in Acts chapter 5. And Stephen was buried in Acts chapter 8. And so the consistent example throughout Scripture is that of burial, not of cremation. Well, let's look at two more examples that I think are extremely important. By the way, did you notice, maybe you didn't because you didn't know what I was preaching on tonight, but as we read through 1 Corinthians 11 in preparation for the Lord's Supper, Jesus even refers to death as sleep. And even later when he talks in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection, he talks about those that sleep. And the idea is that the body is placed in the ground awaiting the resurrection. Well, let's look at these additional examples. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 34. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, in verses 5 and 6, We have an interesting account here of Moses and his burial. Deuteronomy 34, verse number 5, it says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, that is God, buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth-peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day." Who buried Moses? God did. God the Creator gave us the example by burying one of his choice servants. It was God's desire to see him buried. Go with me to John 19. John 19, look at verse number 38. And we see that Jesus, our Lord, was buried. John 19, look at verse number 38. "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in that garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand." And you look at that and you think, well, of course Jesus was buried. He needed to rise again in 3 days. Listen, let me ask a question. Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee of our resurrection, right? And if Jesus Christ was buried in anticipation of his resurrection, shouldn't the same be for you and me? Absolutely. I want you to notice another point here, that even when burial was difficult, God's people practiced burial. Give you an example. We're not going to look it up because for the sake of time. But Joseph's body, he died in Egypt, and his body was kept for over 400 years in Egypt. And then when they left, they carried his bones. They carried it through the wilderness for 40 years of wandering. Wouldn't you want to be the one responsible for carrying Joseph's casket? And they carried it around for 40 years before they, more than 40 years, before they buried it in the Promised Land. In Genesis 50 is when he died and they made the arrangements. He told them what to do. And in Exodus 13, they left Egypt, and it clearly states that they buried or took his body with them. And then in Joshua, we're told that they buried him. For 440 years, over 440 years, his body was kept in a casket until he was finally buried in the Promised Land. So even when it was difficult, God's people practiced burial. Cremation would have been much simpler, wouldn't it? They could have carried Joseph's ashes out in a much smaller container, but that's not what he allowed and not what God wanted. Well, let's talk about this idea of looking forward to the resurrection for just a moment. Go with me to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Burial looks forward to the bodily resurrection. In Romans chapter 8, we're going to begin reading in verse number 22. In Romans 8, verse number 22, the Bible says this, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit," that is, for it to finally happen and for the completion to come. What is it? The redemption of our body. A bodily resurrection. You know, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he made sure that they knew that it was a bodily resurrection. And he said to Thomas, he said, "Thomas, put your fingers here. Thrust your hand into my side." And then at one point, he literally said, "Do you have bread to eat? Let me just show you that I am flesh and bone." The bodily resurrection is important to Christians. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is the great chapter on the resurrection. It talks about Jesus' resurrection, and then it talks about how our resurrection is guaranteed because of Jesus' resurrection. And then Paul gives this wonderful illustration here, a farming illustration, beginning in verse number 35, 1 Corinthians 15, 35. "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of man and of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and one star differeth from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And he uses this illustration of grain or wheat that is put into the ground. And some people may say, but the body decomposes, so what's the difference? And let me say that in this passage, the Apostle Paul answers that question. A farmer doesn't destroy the seed, he plants the seed. When it decomposes, it brings forth new life. There is a beautiful illustration in this. God gave us the body that he gave us. It belongs to him and is not ours to destroy. And when a person is saved, the body is planted in the ground. And just as that grain dies and corrupts, and in its corruption, it yields up a new plant with new life, so God uses that to illustrate our body. It is placed in the ground. And though it sees corruption, it will give way one day to an incorrupt body. Our resurrection body is somehow related to our new body. I can't say that I can explain it. When we went through 1 Corinthians in Sunday school class, we talked through this then, and we made the comparison or made the point that even on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah were recognized, and there was something about them that gave the apostles, the three that were there, Peter, James, and John, gave them an identification as to who they were. And they were standing on the mountain talking to Jesus in his glorified body. There were bodies there. Now, they have not had their resurrected body yet, but somehow they were identified. And so it is, this body is somehow identified with our new body. And burying the body is like planting the seed. It shows faith in the promise of the resurrection. We bury a Christian loved one's body as a farmer plants the seed. Go with me to Job 19. Job 19. Even the Old Testament saints understood this principle. You've heard me say it before, and I want to just repeat it again because it's worth repeating. But here it is. The resurrection has been the hope of the Christian all throughout the centuries. From the beginning of time on this earth and after sin in the Garden of Eden, the resurrection has been the hope of the Christian. Now, the book of Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible. There's no mention of Abraham. There's no mention of Israel. It is probably that Job lived shortly after the flood and before Abraham came on the scene. So as far as the books that were written, the book of Job is probably the oldest book in our Bible as far as the amount of time that it's been written. But look at verse 25. He says this, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Verse 26, he's obviously talking about burial, not burning, but he anticipates the resurrection of his body. And it is God's job to take that body and to create a new body out of it. Job had faith in the resurrection. Well, you know what? I forgot to give you the PowerPoint. There they are, in case you wanted the references. Now, let me say this. The heathen have no such hope. They don't have the hope of the resurrection. There is not the respect for our bodies and the fact that we are created in the image of God among the heathen. As a matter of fact, reincarnation, which is where my understanding is where cremation had its origins, those that taught reincarnation. Reincarnation teaches that there is no connection between the soul and our body. They believe that it is separate and that when the soul separates from this body is done. It is no more of use. Therefore, if they burn the body, it's no big deal. In my opinion, it is a sign of disrespect. But they believe that the soul then moves on and is put into a new body. That is not what we believe as Christians. Or it goes on into karma, which is a non-physical sphere. And some of you would even understand that more than I would. Throughout the Bible, the destruction of the human body by fire was used as a sign of divine judgment. Burial for God's people, judgment for those that disobeyed God. Let me just give you some examples. What about the example of Sodom and Gomorrah? God burned them up. That was his judgment. What about the example of the men who rebelled with Korah? God burned them up. By the way, there are more examples than what I'm giving you. I'm just giving you three that I know would be easy for us to remember. The example of the unsaved that are cast into the lake of fire for eternal punishment. It is a sign of judgment. Now, go with me, if you would, please, to Amos chapter 2. I hope you all can find that little book, the book of Amos. It's a minor prophet, so it's going to be near the end of your Old Testament. It's right after the book of Joel. Amos chapter 2. God is pronouncing judgments upon specific nations. And in Amos chapter 2, verse number 1, it says this, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime." God actually condemns this nation for burning the bones of the king of Edom. Now, let me say this. I think the examples of Scripture are clear. And I do know that there are circumstances where a Christian may die in a way that his body cannot be buried. I understand that. But please understand also that it is God's responsibility to handle that and not mine. God can destroy this human body if he wants to. That is his choice. He's the one who made it. He's the one who owns it. I don't have the right to destroy a body by fire. If God chooses to do that, that is his right. Whenever possible, I think that a burial for a Christian should take place. God gave this body to house the human soul, and it is to house the soul until it separates and is in the presence of our Savior. And then this body is to be planted in the earth in anticipation of the resurrection. And if you have a loved one who has been cremated, I just want you to remember this, that even though I believe burial is God's design for us as Christians, if you have a loved one who was cremated, it does not affect their resurrection. Please understand that. It is not going to affect the fact that God will raise them one day and give them a new body. And so please don't feel like you have committed an unpardonable sin, because that's not the case. But I do believe that wherever possible, Christians should bury, and that cremation should not even be an option. And let me just say this. Let me say a couple things. One is practical. As you get older, and those that are in the room that are over the hump, so to speak, do what you can to make sure that your funeral is paid for ahead of time to help those who are left behind in your family. It is expensive, and we do understand that, and it's getting more pricey, so do what you can ahead of time, but please practice burial. And as Satan erodes away the influence of Scripture, and I think this is the part that burdens me the most, is that Satan is slowly eroding away the influence of Scripture on our society. And as he does that, and society begins to accept things that are unscriptural, Christians sometimes accept them without question, and we shouldn't do that. That's the whole preaching that I do about the helmet of salvation. It should affect our thinking. It should affect all of our thoughts. So when we get to something as important as this, we really do need to search the scriptures and not just accept what society tells us. So Satan will erode as much as he can. He'll do all that he can to take away any practice, even the little things. He'll take away any practice that he can that reflects God's word and God's truth. And he will do everything that he can to push our society into a godless society. Cremation is just one of those. So let me finish by saying this. Praise God for the resurrection. Now, this is kind of a heavy topic for us to discuss. It's a pretty heavy topic to discuss, but I think it's important for us to look at what the Bible teaches about this, and I hope you feel the same way. Would you bow your head with me this evening? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.